Our scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, and it's verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent more time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being served. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, lately, I've been trying to just pay more attention to home decor. As you know, this past year has been a time of healing for me. And so I've been able now to think more about planting flowers and taking care of the yard and doing some home decor and making it my own way and personalizing the parsonage in a way that makes me feel at home and happy. And I've mentioned to you, if you go through IKEA, I mentioned a few weeks ago, they have a special way that they market their merchandise. If you weave through all the showrooms, they have a unique way. They have these mock-ups of various rooms, you know, bedrooms, kitchens, living rooms, offices, and all of that. And so as you mosey around through like two levels of a maze of displays, you're invited to step inside these perfect specimens of a home. And it's just wonderful. You step inside this sample office and you think, this could be mine. Or you get inside of a wardrobe and this could be my dressing room. This is just fabulous here. And you just think about how amazing it is. You're inside these perfect specimens of a home. And as I wandered through these offices and displays, these mock-ups of the perfect home, I noticed that there were a few things that were missing. For one, I didn't stumble over any shoes that were in front of the doorway. There was no pile of mail on the kitchen counter. The beds were perfectly made all day. And the bathroom mirror didn't have dried splatters on it. Something was different. Maybe I'm revealing too much about the parsonage, but surely not everybody else's home is Better Homes and Gardens. I mean, I hope, I pray, I beg. Anyway, I guess this is why they're called models. It's the perfect image of what a home could be. It's just that things look a lot different when you actually live in it. You got to keep up with it. Well, it's not only this way in the furniture store. When I go to the clothing store and I think I need a new shirt, and the mannequins seem to fill it in just the right places. And it doesn't, I'm telling you, the clothes don't look the same on me that it does on the mannequin. Something is different about that. The food always looks, the recipes always look easier to make in the cookbook or on YouTube. It does not turn out the same way all the time for me. Do you ever feel like the example is looking better and looks a lot easier and would be easier to make and would turn out better than in real life? I mean, take a look at that bread Lisa made the other. I mean, it's that takes a lot of practice. Well, today's scripture is the perfect specimen on how to be the church. Tradition tells us that the book of Acts was written by Luke, and it's a sequel to the Gospels. It's the rest of the story. It's what happens after the resurrection and how the church was born. It's literally the birthday of the church. The book of Acts tells us that Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven, and then all the church was together in one place, and you know how that is, the Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon the people. And a strange wind began to blow, and divided tongues as of fire fell upon the people, and they began to speak in languages so that everybody in the known world could hear the gospel. It was a miracle. But there was confusion. There was chaos. There was all sorts of questioning. Some wondered if the apostles were drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. It was so strange. But Peter began to preach. He said, this isn't chaos. This isn't randomness. This is what happens when heaven comes down. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit moves, when the gospel is heard, and people are transformed. Peter reminded them how Jesus was crucified and how he was raised from the dead, and what we are seeing is nothing less than God breaking in into the present. Believers were so moved by the experience, they just had to act. And their response was they formed a Christian community. They said, we want to live in this deliberate way together, and they wanted to live in the world and not of it. And that's what they did. The scripture tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They ate and they prayed together. And they committed themselves to fellowship. And you've heard me preach about this and talk about this and write about this word called koinonia. This Greek word is hard to effectively translate into English, but basically it means a sacred, deep community. A sacred, committed community that relies on the Holy Spirit. This was the most awesome thing these people had ever experienced. Signs and wonders were being done for the apostles. There was this sense of awesomeness and all about all the wonderful things that God was doing among them. And the scripture tells us that as everybody were together, they had things in common. And this is a root word of koinonia again. It's kind of one of these favorite words that is in the book of Acts. They sold their possessions, they gave to those who had need, and day after day, they spent time together. It's as if the first believers saw their things as a spiritual blessing from God. What they had was an extension of God, and they used it to share others. They were so invested in this new Christian life, in this new fellowship, because they saw God at work among them. They met together for worship. They ate together in homes with joy. They grew rapidly. Scripture tells us day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. If only being the church were that easy. If only it was easy that day by day, the kingdom would be multiplied through us. But in reality, it really wasn't that easy for the first Christians. I mean, it happened, and this shows us the prime example of what can happen, and it's the utmost example of how to be the church and what happens when everything is, and the stars that are aligning and everything is working out well. But if you read a little bit farther throughout the New Testament, you'll see that it was not that easy for the early Christians. First century Rome was a brutal place to be a church. The Roman cult called for utmost praise of the emperor. In fact, people worshipped the emperor. They were called to allegiance to the emperor. Few people were rich, and those that were, they were incredibly so, and most people struggled. In some ways, ancient Rome governed by a lot of the same standards that many empires and societies do today. They valued accumulation of wealth and things. But meanwhile, this Christian community called for a sharing and a distribution of resources. While Roman society operated with a strict hierarchy and there were different levels, Christians called for a community in which there was no male or female or Gentile or Jew or slave or free, where there was exploitation. Christians called for reconciliation. They called for forgiveness and grace. It was a radical separation from their society. So before I studied it, I didn't know exactly how scandalous this koinonia thing really was. But it was countercultural. It was definitely scandalous. It was a lot different from the way in which everybody else in their world lived. They lived radically different than the rest of their society. And so these ancient Roman Christians, they were seen as troublemakers. They were viewed with a very skeptical eye. They were definitely seen as unpatriotic. And they were even seen as potentially enemies of the empire, just for being nice, you know. They definitely would have been frowned upon for eating with slaves. And they would have been seen as a skeptical eye by just opening up their doors and letting anybody come and eat who wanted to. Sounds familiar. They would have been seen as skeptical. You see, living in common with others was not very common in Roman days. It was tough to be the church in this world. But Christians, they kept doing it day by day because they were devoted to it. And they believed that as they practiced Christian koinonia, that they could do it so much they could usher it into being. Like a showroom mock-up in a furniture store, Luke demonstrates to us the model church. Did it happen like this? I mean, it did. It did sometimes, but I think rarely, and certainly not all the time. Luke tells us what happens when the church worked perfectly, when believers devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship and broke bread together, when all the stars were aligned, when they sold their possessions and distributed the proceeds, when they praised God with glad and generous hearts, when all things came together and believers lived in harmony with one another. Amazing things happened. There were signs and there were wonders, and the church grew, and in fact, it multiplied. But it doesn't take long to read into the New Testament where you can tell the church didn't always work this way. For example, there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. In just a few chapters later in the book of Acts, they pretended to give everything away, but they hid some for themselves, and let's just say it didn't go well. In chapter 6, the Christian community starts arguing over food distribution. People get overlooked. People get dropped. People fall through the cracks. Things get missed. Not long after that, the apostles got arrested. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the church held a meal, and it didn't go perfectly. Some people got there early and ate it all. And then the people who came later, like the slaves and the poor folks, there wasn't enough for them, and they got scolded for it. So it turns out that the first church didn't always live up to this standard. In fact, this was an ideal that they often fell short of. But it could happen. And it did happen many times. This church of Pentecost shows us what it can be like when the Spirit is at work in us and in our world. It's a vision of what's entirely possible, as precious as it may be. There were four practices in our scripture that made all the difference. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They came together to fellowship in godly koinonia. They ate together and celebrated communion, and they worshiped God and prayed. Oh, this is the perfect model for the church. Did it work all the time? Absolutely not. Many times they fell short, but day after day they kept coming back. They kept teaching, they kept sharing, they kept eating together, they kept praying, they kept hitting redo. Some days they hit the nail on the head. Many times they fell short. They fell short of the mark, but they kept on trying because they believed in the grace of God and a grace of God that would carry them through. We know how hard it is to be the church today, just as hard as it was for the ancient Christians. I think sometimes we think we live in a world that's worse off, but it's just honestly, I think it's because we are getting the news faster than we ever have before. And I think that's why we're so worn out and tired, is because our bodies aren't meant to get this much bad news all at once by so many different ways. The world has always been a bad and a broken place. And I think I say this almost every Sunday. I feel like there are mirror images between our society today and first century. But the fact is we're getting all sorts of notices and information, and it's coming at us at such rapid fire that it's traumatic for us. And it is hard to be the church, and I think people are worn out. It's hard to work. It's hard to do so many things. And I just want to put that out there and say that I want to put it out there to just be real for a moment. Like the first Christians, we live in an individualistic world. We have more going on than we have time for and the wits for. Resources are limited in our church, just like they were in the early church, and it seems like we lose people more often than we gain them. Ministry is inefficient. And I want to encourage us that these problems are as old as the church. Christians have not always been able to live up to the standards, the model standard, the showroom standard for what it means to be a church. We're trying, and I want to thank you for your support in so many ways that makes a difference, your commitment and your love. But, you know, being a church is being a church is even different than it was 10 years ago for me. As an elder millennial, I feel like I kind of grew up in the old world, and now I'm in a new world, and it's a unique place to be. One foot in and one foot out. I grew up kind of in the old way of the church, where you started in a rural church and you grew up into a larger church. And then you gain more experience and all of that. And then we hit COVID. And COVID really changed, I mean, in a lot of industries, but I think it really changed the church too. Because the church was in the United Methodist Church and a lot of the church in America was on a gradual decline since about the 70s. And then whenever COVID hit, it shut everything down and it really perpetuated that decline. And then also in the past 10 years in the United Methodist Church, we had our division. And we lost about a third or maybe a quarter of our churches. And I think that really affected the spirit of the United Methodist Church as well. So I guess I want to put all this out there to say I get it. It's a tough world to be a church. It's a very unique climate, and I'll be honest, I have all the instructions, but like baking bread, I don't know if I know how to do it. I think we're doing all the things that Luke is telling us to do. We're gathering together, we're feasting together, we're throwing our doors wide open, we're asking folks to come and eat with us, and still it's a frustrating time to be a church, and I just want to put it out there too. That some days I wonder if I know how to be a pastor anymore, and it's tough to be a church. We do all the things that we used to do and that we grew up and we studied to do as a pastor, and yet it's just a crazy world. Broadway United Methodist Church, though, stands out in our community as being a church that wants to take the love of Jesus outside these walls. I'm proud of us. We're doing what the Bible, what the gospel asks of us. I'm proud that we can do things here that it may take a lot of it persuading in any other church that I've been a part of. I'm proud of the fact that almost every week I am out in the community and people say they love us, they see what we're doing, they support us in so many ways. I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of you guys for what we're doing. And yet still, from the pastoral side, I'm not seeing the connections I want to see. Our attendance is down. And so is our giving. And I want to be real about that. And at the same time, I'm very proud what we stand for and all that we are. And that's why our board is doing an in-depth time of visioning. If you remember, every year our board gets together for an annual retreat, and we set three goals. And so with Crystal Golnick's help, she's helping us to do some strategizing and some visioning. And we've settled on three goals, and that's going to help. And basically they revolve around tightening some of our internal structure, thinking about job descriptions. We don't have some job descriptions. We need to think about, we're a very busy church, but sometimes busy isn't necessarily better if it doesn't have a product, if it's not bringing in results. And so we're going to think about all the wonderful things that we're doing and how we can channel our energies towards things that really meet people where they are. And we're going to be working on this. And instead of just a few goals that we can check the box this year, we have some big broad scale goals. And every month in our board meeting, we're spending time on that. Used to, we spend an hour and a half just talking about and reporting from our board meeting. We've reduced that to a half hour now, and we're spending a whole hour on strategizing and visioning and praying and discernment. So I believe in that, and I'm grateful for the board's commitment to that and Crystal's commitment as well to lead us in that effort. We are doing the things that God asks us to do, and we continue to ask for God's help. So the one thing is for sure, we have an amazing church. We are full of amazing folks. We are taking the amazing love of Jesus to our community, and I will do anything possible to make these connections in our community and to grow the Spirit of Christ among us. There is no easy answer. It's the guideline is simple, but it's not easy in this world, and our scripture provides a basis, and that we'll continue to be doing those things. We'll continue to eat together in fellowship, throw our doors wide open in a world that doesn't do that much anymore. We'll come together and pray as much as we can and learn from one another, and we believe in the God of the resurrection who will guide us. Yes, sometimes we'll hit the mark, sometimes we'll miss it, but we trust in the God of the resurrection who offers us grace day after day. So I just challenge you to go forth. Let's continue to be the church, to be who God asks us to be, to share the love of Christ and to rely on his grace, who helps us to grow, if not in number, in spirit and in wholeness and in love. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that your spirit is among us. God, show us the way to be the church in this crazy world. Help us to continue to be devoted to you and to teaching, to godly teaching. Help us to be devoted to one another and in fellowship. Help us to break bread with one another, those that we know and those that we don't. Lord, show us the way so that we can multiply your kingdom, so the glory will be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.